share with us today about the Colorado Missions offering. But first, we're going to watch a video about that, just to give us an idea of what's going on in our state. So we'll watch the video, then Dr. Mike will come up and present.
The Colorado Baptist General Convention is a network of churches advancing the gospel together to reach the 4.9 million unchurched people in Colorado and others around the world. The same principle also applies to our giving. Through the cooperative program, every single church can share the good news of Jesus around the globe. Here's how it works. Each of the 370 churches that makes up the Colorado Baptist General Convention chooses how much they will give to the cooperative program. Supported by these faithful gifts, the gospel is proclaimed in nearly 50 church plants here in Colorado that receive funding. That giving also supports 7 full-time regional directors working with associations to provide encouragement and support to pastors and churches across the state. It helps provide training for 75 ministry leaders through the Rocky Mountain campus of Gateway Seminary. It reaches skiers and outdoor enthusiasts at 10 Colorado mountain resorts, and provides financial services and support through the Rocky Mountain Foundation. Outside of our region, that CP support goes across North America to 33 key cities where Southern Baptists are trying to impact the largest pockets of people, as well as being a part of the 1,000 church plants all over the continent. And finally, those spiritual resources from our Colorado churches spread all over the world to missionaries in more than 120 countries. Your gifts through the cooperative program impact lives for Jesus here across our nation and to the ends of the earth.
Amen. Well, good morning, Aberdeen. It is good to be back with you. I was talking with Zach and Aaron as I was getting mic'd up and stuff for this morning and said, well, you know, when I was here last year, they said, no, it was 2 years ago. You know, time gets away. Here's what I realized. The older that I get, you know, it was just a couple of days ago this happened, and I realized that time's gone by much faster. Well, Pastor Brett invited me about 6 months ago to come today because this was going to be the last message in your focus on missions for the month of August. So I'm grateful for the opportunity to do that. And so for the text this morning, I've chosen one verse. Obviously, the context and the application, the teaching is going to expand much larger than one verse. But one verse this morning out of Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6. And this is the passage. So we built the wall, and the whole wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. I want us to focus this morning on the value of partnership, why partnership is important in missions, and how we do more working together than we do operating by ourselves. So let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning as we start. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us, and we thank you for the truth of Scripture. It seems, Father, that everywhere that we look, we see the people that you have called out to follow you, to move in your direction, on your mission. But, Father, there's always a connection together. There's very seldom do we see individuals, Father, just doing things on their own, but there is a support around them. Even Elijah, who felt like he was by himself when he met the prophets of Baal and Asherah on Mount Carmel, the Lord told him that there were 7,000 that hadn't bent the knee. So, Father, we realize that you've called us to service, you've called us to obedience, but you've called us to do that in community. And we love you and we thank you for that. I pray this morning, Lord, that as we look at this text and as we look at the value of partnership together for mission, that we'll see that how much more we actually can impact gospel ministry by partnering together than any of us can do by ourselves. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's hard for me to believe you're just talking about how time flies. You talk about Pastor Brett having going to be here for a year. That's amazing that that's gone by so quickly. In a couple of months, I will have completed my fourth year as the executive director for the Colorado Baptist General Convention. And it's been wonderful. I mean, I have yet to have anybody say to me, well, it feels like it's been 20. So that's a blessing. You know, when they say, oh, I can't believe it's been that long. That's a good thing. One of the things that I've done is as I've traveled the state, as I've had opportunities to share the word in various churches, as I've gotten together in associational meetings, is to spend time hearing from pastors, hearing from church leaders about their needs. Because the Colorado Baptist General Convention is not about creating a bunch of things that we want churches to get on board with. It's about coming alongside churches and seeing where is their need, how can we help them, and how can we assist them. And through the years, what I have learned, what a burning passion in my heart is this belief that every church matters. It doesn't matter how big that church is. It doesn't matter how small that church is. It doesn't matter its location. It doesn't matter what language or culture that church worships in. Every church matters because every church is the lighthouse that God has planted in that location to be to reach people with the gospel. And that's the mission of the church. But I would submit to you that even in our work locally, we cannot do that work alone. It takes a gathering of people. It takes the support of other people. And throughout the state, throughout the years, I have talked about how people had understood Colorado Baptist to mean the convention office in Denver. But it doesn't. You're Colorado Baptist. Amen. We're all Colorado Baptist together. The convention is nothing except a convention of churches that are serving and partnering together for the gospel. Well, when Pastor Brett asked me to come, he said, we're talking about missions. Can you share about the mission work from Southern Baptists, the work that happens in our state, that happens nationally and around the world? And so I hope to do that. And I believe that our text for this morning really paints that picture, again, of that value of partnership and working together. And so I want us to look again at our text. We recognize, again, that it's one verse out of a larger context. And so I want to kind of build a bridge to that specific verse this morning, if you will. If you're familiar with the story of Nehemiah, then this will be a refresher for you. If you're not, then good. Let's go on a journey together. Nehemiah was a cupbearer in the city of Susa, and he was part of the Israelites that had been captured and had been relocated here. The king at the time was King Ahasuerus, King Artaxerxes, and he was the ruler of most of the known world at this time. So it was that Nehemiah had been in Jerusalem, where his heart was, the city of God, where God's temple had been, and he was relocated. He was captured and deported to Susa. And he'd been there 12 years. But his heart was close to Jerusalem, even though he was physically far away. And he heard a report about Jerusalem that the people, the remnant who had been there, that had survived the conquering, were struggling. They were under ridicule from those people that lived around them. They were in danger because there was no protection. The city walls and the gates had all been torn down. The temple had been destroyed, and there they were. They were struggling. And this broke Nehemiah's heart because these were his people. These were the people of God that he loved and that he wanted so much to see prosper, and yet they were not. And so Nehemiah was troubled at his heart, and he fasted and prayed for many days that the Lord would give him a vision, that the Lord would protect the people who were there. And so he began to pray for an open door, an opportunity that God would give him, that he might be a part of a solution to help his people. In chapter 2, we learn that the Lord answers Nehemiah's prayer. Now, Nehemiah was serving King Artaxerxes his wine at his meal, and his face was sad. And Artaxerxes asked him, and he said, Nehemiah, why is your face sad though you're not sick? This can only be sadness of the heart. And Nehemiah told him, how could I be anything but sad when my countrymen, my people, are suffering and struggling so much in their homeland? It was then in verse 4 of chapter 2 that King Artaxerxes asked him a question. He said, what do you request? And the interesting thing about this particular verse is that it wasn't that Nehemiah just shouted out an idea. The verse concludes by him saying, so I prayed to the God of heaven. Rather than just answering, he prayed. And God gave his heart a burden about going back, about seeing redemption of the city, about seeing the people being cared for, about seeing the walls rebuilt and order restored in that area. And so Nehemiah was sent off, and he was sent with supplies to go. And so Nehemiah went, and he met with the remnants, though he didn't tell them what he was doing there. And as he went along the city, he went around and inspected the damage all on his own. And he found that it was worse than he had envisioned. And so Nehemiah cried out to the Lord again. But this time he invited all of the people, the remnant of the land, to come together. And in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17, Nehemiah says this. You see the bad situation we are in, that Jerusalem is desolate and the gates burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be a reproach. And it was to that, that not Nehemiah's words, but the Lord's Spirit sparked a fire in the hearts of the people who were there. And in verse 18, they said, let us arise and build. They were moved with the same vision because it was moved by the same God who gave a vision to the people, that Nehemiah's heart to see order and the people established and God honored in that city, it spoke to their hearts as well as the Spirit moved over them, and they wanted to be a part of this. Let us arise and build. So was the task easy? No. Was it fraught with danger? Yes. Because there were those in the land that would take advantage of those in Jerusalem, and they were about to be dismissed. And they didn't want that to happen. They didn't want that to change. And so the work, they set their hands to the work. Even though it would cost them personally, even though there was danger, they said, we'll do it. Chapter 3 then begins by the whole chapter. Wish we could take time just to investigate the whole chapter 3, because it's this miraculous, wonderful picture of this partnership and what can be accomplished when people work together. Chapter 3 gives us this picture of distribution of responsibilities for building the wall. And it wasn't just Nehemiah who said, I want you to do this and you do this and you do this. It was that the people rose up and took responsibility of the portion of the wall or the gates that were near their homes and they worked, or near their businesses, and they worked in partnership together. Verse 1 tells us that Eliashib the high priest led the charge to rebuild the sheep gate. And then verse 2 tells us that the men of Jericho worked on the wall next to them. And then verse 4 tells us that the son of Berechiah worked with the son of Benah, and they rebuilt a section of the wall. And then verse 12 tells us that Shalem, the ruler of half the district of Jerusalem, repaired the section with the help of his daughters, while Benjamin and Hashub, they worked together, according to verse 23, and they built the walls right in the sections in their homes. Let me unpack for you a little bit about what some of these names represent. It means that there were rulers of the land that worked next in partnership with the priests. It meant that the judges worked next to some of the nobles. It meant that the perfumers worked next to the goldsmiths. People who had different responsibilities in life, different influences in their community, different roles that they had. They all came together for one purpose and one cause. And listen, they all had different backgrounds. This was unity without uniformity. Isn't that a wonderful thought? It's like we don't all have to be the same. We don't all have to look the same. We don't have to all think the same. But we can come together in our diversity and be unified for a gospel purpose of seeing things accomplished. And I think that's what's so exciting about this work, because we have people of all socioeconomic levels partnering together. People who may not have normally, on regular circumstance, even spoken to each other on the street. But they work shoulder to shoulder to accomplish this purpose. And they work together. And we go back to our text, and it says in Nehemiah 4:6, "So we built the wall, and the whole wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work." I've titled this message, "A Work in Progress," because that's what we are. That's what all of us are, regardless of what church we represent, where we work. It doesn't matter that even personally that God is still working on us. He's still seeking to accomplish his purposes through us, that we are indeed a work in progress. When I came to the Colorado Baptist General Convention in 2021, I realized that the convention was a work in progress. And I realized that what I was coming into was not something that had just begun in 2021. It was something that had begun so many years before that. In fact, the convention next year celebrates its 70th anniversary. 2026 will be 70 years that the Colorado Baptist General Convention has been in existence. And you know what? There are many churches across our state that predate the convention because they got together and said, "We want to have representation here as a state convention." I realized that there were others who had laid foundations, they'd laid blocks, they'd done some other things that we could build upon, but it was a work in progress. When I left my association in Southern California, where I was the director of missions, my last message to them at the last annual meeting before I transitioned here, I shared with them several things because we'd been there 10 years and we'd worked together and we'd built foundations and we'd built stones and we'd built upon others' works and we'd seen great things accomplished and we'd seen diverse churches coming together for gospel purposes. And I challenged them with these three things. I said that they need to stay focused on their labors because what the Lord has begun in them, He was going to continue. It would be by different means and by different people with their hands on it, but they were going to see His effects if they would continue in laboring for His glory. I told them never to forget how the Lord was faithful to bring about the results and glorify His name. You know, God's never asked one of us to accomplish His purposes in our own abilities. He simply asked us to be vessels, to say yes and allow Him to work through us. And the final thing is that I asked them, I reminded them that they are partners in ministry, regardless of where their churches were located, that they were seeking to accomplish the same purposes, and that's touch lives with the gospel and the hope of Jesus Christ. These kinds of things that we do together are powerful impactors that we see that our partnership is much wider than just geographical areas. It's much wider than just cultural similarities. It has to do with what God has called us to do and that we are united in the gospel. We are all in this work together, every one of us. No insignificant parts. Isn't that important? Isn't that encouraging to you? Well, I look in the mirror every morning and I just see me. And I'm glad to know that God's not done with me because He's got a purpose. If I'll just say, "Lord, here am I, use me." Well, I want to share with you some of the ways that Southern Baptists have bought this understanding of partnership together and the things that have been accomplished because we've worked and the things that you've had an equal part in as a partner in the cooperative program and a partner in the ministries that you've been involved. Let me share with you with the IMB. I know that you've had some international missions through this month, but let me just give you this snippet, if you will. The International Mission Board is our launching group, mission group, to international missions. Now, in years past, the IMB has had more missionaries on the field than what they currently have, but they're rebuilding from a time in 2015 when they recalled a bunch of missionaries because of finances. But now they're beginning to build those missionaries back up and reaching people that you and I will never reach. You and I don't know those languages. We don't live in those areas. We don't understand those cultures. But our IMB missionaries go and serve in those areas. They leave home so that they can be your representatives in mission fields. Currently, we have 3,650 missionary units, that's missionary families, on the international mission field. So obviously more than 3,650 people. But they're in specific areas, some areas that are closed off to missionaries where they go in under other platforms where they serve in government or they serve agriculturally. They have other jobs that they do there, but they're there to initiate gospel conversations and see people won to Christ. Through our giving to the cooperative program and the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. It's a month-long offering that takes place in December where 100% of that money goes to support those missionaries. Currently, the IMB, Dr. Paul Chitwood talked about this in Dallas at the National Convention this year. Currently, the IMB has 1,300 missionary units in pipeline preparing at various stages, preparing for appointment to go. It's the largest pipeline of missionaries preparing that the IMB has ever had in its history. The Lord is doing something. But none of those missionaries could go over, be fully supported like they are without the cooperative program. And that's where I tell churches, it doesn't matter how much you give to cooperative program, you have an equal part in the investment in all 3,650 missionary units overseas. This is accomplished because our churches have a mind to work. Ours is a work in progress. The second thing that our partnership does is through the North American Mission Board. The North American Mission Board is primarily charged with helping to see church planters and areas in the country where they are either underserved with the gospel or there's no gospel witness there, to see churches planted in those areas. This last year, there were 740 new church plants that took place across North America. And sometimes we think, well, the North American Mission Board, they plant churches, and so we don't have to really worry about doing that. And that's not the case. Churches plant churches, and the North American Mission Board helps to facilitate that process so they can connect the field and the resources with those that have a heart to plant churches. But you see, through the cooperative program and the Annie Armstrong Easter offering now, the whole month of either March or April, wherever Easter falls, is dedicated, where 100% of that money goes to help mission work for church planting. Now, let me see if I can give you a perspective and put some handles on this. That means that a church in Pueblo that gives to the cooperative program or the Annie Armstrong Easter offering can see and help a Spanish-speaking church in Monte Vista, Colorado, get started and reach Spanish-speaking people. It means a church giving to the cooperative program in Pueblo can be a part in helping a Russian-speaking church in Sacramento, California, reach Russian-speaking people. It's where a church in Pueblo can be a part of helping reach Native Americans people in Arizona or New Mexico or in Southern Colorado. Because we partner together, we're able to have an impact and an influence in all of those areas. This is a work that's accomplished because churches partner together, and ours is a work in progress. So what about Colorado? From the beginning of my time here in Colorado, where I heard of churches and meeting with churches and pastors and leaders who said they felt isolated. Back in 2010, the North American Mission Board withdrew its support to associational work. And when it did that, it focused its attention on church planting, but it left a big hole in associations where directors of missions and associational leaders were no longer there, who they had been catalysts for uniting local pastors together, helping support, boots on the ground. They lived in the area. They understood the needs and the uniquenesses of those areas. And all of that had gone, and it left a hole here in Colorado. In 2021, I came, and that hole was still here, which means for 11 years, there had not been an adequate addressing of how do we minister to churches at the ground level and the field level. And so we began a strategy where we began to find and seek out those that were called to be regional directors. Those were associational leaders. We just gave them a new name because that way it didn't bring whatever baggage, whether negative or positive, that someone might have with the term director of missions. But they do the same work. They work on the field. Your regional director in the Royal Gorge Association is Nate Templin. And Nate is here to support you, to encourage you, to help you however he can. But he also serves at the Colorado Baptist General Convention on our leadership team. And the beauty of this strategy is that we have people living on the field, serving associations, understanding the uniquenesses of those areas, and then come to the convention for our monthly meeting and share with us the needs of the churches. Because the convention is in Littleton, Colorado. And we don't always know what's going on in Pueblo, or we don't know what's going on in Arkansas Valley, or we don't know what's going on up in Fort Collins. We know the area around us. And those guys come to the table, all of them, and they share with us the struggles and the needs of the churches so that as we create strategy together to help churches, it's for the field and it's been informed by the field. And we're only able to do that because we give together, because we partner together. Through the giving to the cooperative program and the Colorado Mission offering in honor of Nicey Murphy, which I'm very encouraged. I see all the signs up promoting that for next month's offering. We're able to partner with those regional directors to bring support to those churches to work in partnership together. And my goal, my desire is that the local church doesn't see just the association working and just the convention working, but to see us as one team moving in the same direction, working together. Because we are. We're working together, and that's what partnership looks like. And we do that because churches give to the cooperative program. Here's what I want you to understand. The convention doesn't have a business on the side that generates income. We don't sell widgets. We don't make widgets. We serve churches. And we're able to operate because churches give. As churches give, we can utilize those funds. And the Colorado Baptist General Convention has been very conscientious of taking your money and being frugal with it. Where we now operate with 19% of the money that comes into us through cooperative program, that's administrative costs. That means 81% goes back to the churches. 81% goes to world missions. 81% goes to the IMB. All of that money that we touch. When you add the Colorado Mission offering, which is the equivalent of about 6% of our annual budget, 100% of that stays in Colorado resources that go back to Colorado ministries. That means we operate on an 87% of every dollar we touch goes to mission causes. And I think that that's something that you can be encouraged by. But we're not finished. We're a work in progress. There's more to do because there are still people that have not been won to Christ. There are still people who have not been touched with the gospel yet. And so the work never ends. In our focus, with our analogy, the wall is just half done. If we look at the text and we apply that to the work in Colorado, the work is half done. There's still more to do. And people still need to stand up and they need to say, I have a mind to work. We'll work together to accomplish this. We'll work together to build this wall. We'll work together to see the gospel touching other people. And if we were going to, again, use the analogy of our text in Nehemiah, we would say that this means that executives have to work shoulder to shoulder with hourly workers. This means educators and contractors work together, the same cause and the same purpose. It means that Aberdeen Baptist Church stands alongside Iglesia Baptista Samaritano in Sawatch, and that the First Hmong Church of Broomfield stands next to Rosemont Church in Montrose. We stand together in partnership so that we can be a part of doing this work together. Nehemiah 4:6 again says, so we built the wall, and the wall and the whole wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. If you think about this passage and we apply it to ourselves, it says, so we built the wall. We means all of us working together. And because we worked together, because they worked together, the whole wall was joined together to half its height. And why was this work successful? Because the text concludes by saying, for the people had a mind, they had a heart, they had a conviction to work. So why is partnership important? Very simply stated, because we can do more working together than we can apart. I know sometimes when we hear IMB, we think of something distant and far away. Sometimes when we hear about the North American Mission Board, it's distant and far away. Maybe even the convention, distant and far away. But it's not. This gives you a picture of what that work does. It's not just giving to an offering. You're giving to people who are impacting people. And that's what this is all about. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you are doing amongst us, how you are connecting people together, how you are helping us understand the bigger picture of how we make an impact because we partner together in so many different ways. And I know throughout this month that Aberdeen has been celebrating the different partnerships and the things that they've been doing, and maybe things where people had heard some of these names were familiar, but they didn't understand the work and what it really looked like. And I pray, Father, that throughout this month and even this morning, that there is a heightened awareness about, Lord, what you long to do in our midst and the various ways that you've created platforms that we can do that through. We know that the church is at the highest level of authority in the Southern Baptist Convention, and everything else exists to support the work of the church. Father, I thank you for this church, and I thank you for their faithfulness, and I thank you for their giving. I thank you for their reach into Pueblo, and I just pray, Lord, that you will raise them up more and more, Father, that more people will get this conviction that we can do more working together than we can all by ourselves. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.